Let us pray as we still our hearts, Lord, before you. We are reminded of your goodness in this world. Today is all about you. Today is all about how you're working in our hearts and our lives and how you want to do the deep work in us so you can do the deep work through us. Whatever struggles we may be facing, whatever questions we have, whatever is on our mind, help us to just trust you with it now, to give you our complete focus so we don't miss it. We don't miss the opportunity before us to be with you, to learn from you, to grow from your word, and to declare again how good you are. And in doing that, Lord, may you help us become the people you imagine us becoming. We pray this in your name, in your beautiful name. Amen. I've been, last few weeks, been talking about how important it is we consider what we believe. Like, what is it exactly that we really have as our foundation? And one of the things that I kind of found in North Carolina was this giant iron pyrite to kind of represent, like, it looks good. It's heavy. It's really heavy. but it's one of those things where it ain't real when it comes to gold. There's lots of tests they can do to kind of test it. I mean, look at it, figure it out, and they go, nope, that's not real. It's not the real McCoy. How many of us, though, have maybe been living, maybe we haven't considered what our foundation was. Maybe there's some thinking that needs to be checked, needs to be changed. And that's not me trying to point things out. That's not me trying to make anyone feel bad. It's just more of a, I wouldn't be serving you well if I didn't have you stop and examine. Where are you at? This is just to help you again imagine, Lord, what is it that you want to do in my heart and my life? I want to give you the courage to grow. I don't want you to feel you can't risk it. You're in the hands of a good God, and your struggles, your questions, things you are trying to figure out, He's bigger and He can handle whatever you have. Don't worry about that. This is just an example again of maybe some things that we haven't been aware of. Maybe there's some things that we've just always believed to be true, and then we're like, wait, what? That's not, huh. Let's talk more about that. Several things that we've been looking at in our relationship, how we practice our faith, is we worship the Lord. We worship the Lord for who He is and what He's done in our lives. We worship the Lord in everything we do. It's how we breathe, okay? That there's not just a place we go to on a Sunday morning and have service. Yes, we do that, but our worship is everything. Whether you're on a golf course or you're touring North America, whether you're watching the grandkids or you're serving through your business or your vocation, wherever you're at is an opportunity to worship the Lord. And in that worship, we pray. We pray for strength. We pray for guidance. We pray for wisdom. We pray that God would help our efforts be more than just what they are, that He would bless them and have a greater impact. We also read the Bible. And then when we read the Bible, we're not just reading the Bible just for information, for consideration, but for direction. We believe that what He has for us really does matter. And it's important for us to really lean into it. What's fascinating is the number one thing I have found over the years, and I didn't do any scientific test, I haven't checked the statistical deviation on this one, but the number one thing I have found in my conversations with people is when they started reading the Bible, it changed everything. Because it was like, wait a minute, wait. Well, that means this, and if that means it, then that means, and it's just like a whole new world. But it can be confusing. It's 66 books written by 40 authors over 1,000 plus years. How does this all relate to 2020? So those are all fair questions and great challenges. That's why we might need to get with others to read it. We might need to try to figure out what are they saying kind of thing. Before we can figure out what they're saying today, you got to know what it said back then. So Bible study is essential in our relationship and our practicing our relationship with the Lord. Today I want to talk to you about single-mindedness. A better word might be focus. What's your focus on? Many of you might know I have ADD. If you don't, sorry to be the bearer of this to you. That's why the guy's like always like moving. He just can't stop. He can't stay still. Yes. That's on medication. But anyways. They're like, there it is. Moving on. So this this message means a lot to me in the fact that, yeah, this is, we all at times can suffer from spiritual ADD. It's so easy to get off target, off focus. It's so easy to get distracted. Not just for the fun of it, but yeah, for a little fun of it. So we have a gentleman here who's a great guy. Being present in the moment, I'm not saying what Pastor George was doing wasn't important, but it was one of those things where I'm looking and going, man, we flew, you know, how many miles from Florida to Texas, and he flew from Hawaii. It might be the only time we ever meet this guy. Anyway, but it was just one of those things. I was going, I wonder, does he see this? Pastor George, well, if you've ever walked with me somewhere, you know that I will, there'll be someone I'll talk with, or someone will know me. Hey, what's going on? And so they're like, my kids are like, oh, here we go. And Publix is there. They never want to go with me to Publix. But at Past Pat, we're walking here. It's like, oh, he's still there. Oh, come on. We got to keep, oh, it's 9:17, Pat. It's not like I'm like, you know, hanging out in my office just doing that. But anyway, so just I'm like going, don't miss those opportunities. But how can we be present for those opportunities with gentlemen that we meet in Texas or in our average day if we don't spend that time with the Lord in the first place? We need that time. And so single-mindedness is about us making sure our focus is right with the Lord. If this is all you hear and you try to do this, your life will be better for this, okay? Let me just give you permission. You don't have to, unless you're an ER doctor or you're waiting for an emergency phone call from someone, you probably don't need your phone on in the nighttime. I know, I'm touching some landmines here. You could even, wait for it, maybe put the phone in another room. So the first thing you don't pick up in the morning is your phone and check out the news and check out the Facebook. And before you know it, you're like, oh, where'd my morning go? I gotta go. What if you instead had another place, another room, and before you walked over to get it, you just spent some time with the Lord in prayer. And just were still. You don't have to say magic prayer. There is no such thing. It's just be present before him. Start your day off right. Start your day off with him in the forefront. Now, there's going to be seasons in life, illness, small children, maybe travel. There's going to be things that happen in life that you can't have that normal routine that you can have maybe in a regular schedule. But you got to find something that works for you. For phones, that's actually the number one thing they find. The average iPhone user, now if you're a Samsung or Android person, then you're good on this. I'm sure that you never touch your phone that much. But the average iPhone user touches it over 2,700 times a day. 2,700 times. And that's the average. That means there's people that do more, some people do less. 2,700 times. Think about when you're trying to focus on something and someone interrupts you. How hard it is to get that focus back. And we get these notifications, and it's just, man, sometimes you just need to just, sorry, I know, I'm going before I need to, yeah, sorry, moving on. So let's look at the scripture of what God has to say about this. He says in Matthew 6:33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Righteousness, in other words, would be like relationship, doing things in his way. And all these things will be given to you as well. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well, is the word of the Lord. So again, I ask, how do you focus on God? How to focus on God? It starts with our hearts. It starts with our minds. It starts with making sure that we don't get distracted right from the get-go. And again, there's going to be days you don't control. There's going to be days that you don't, man, you're just trying to catch up, keep your head above water. That happens. God's not surprised. He's okay. When you first had children, or if you were maybe helping out a family with little children, you knew right then and there, whoa, this is a lot of work. What's the normal now? I don't know the normal now. And you just kind of go through it. But guess what? God's not like, oh, man, why didn't we have more time? He's like, hey, isn't this a great season? Don't you love this little bundle of joy I gave you? The God, he's in everything. He wants you to experience his joy in everywhere you go. But how to focus on God really begins with a relationship. To understand it, it's not just this thing I have to do. It's not just this thing I should do. It's something I get to do. This is how the Lord told his people in the beginning in Exodus. Now, he starts off with who he is and again what he's done, his love for them. Before he gives any commandment, he begins with relationship. We should pay attention to that. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. Before he gives anything, this is where the Ten Commandments come from, right before he gives anything on the commandments, he starts with who he is and what he's done. He starts with relationship. Here's what I found when it comes to next time you're working with students. Rules without a relationship lead to rebellion. If you try to lay out the rules before there's a relationship, it's going to be tough. That doesn't mean that the rules aren't laid out, but you got to have that relationship helps build that bridge so that the weight of the truth that you have for them can handle it. But you got to take those moments with that relationship. So how do we keep first things first? Because one of the things that Randy Frazee says in his book, in the Believe book series, is that, you know, when you keep first things first, all the second things seem to be right in the right order. But when you try to get all the second things first, man, you don't even get the first things. And before you know it, you're in quicksand. So how do we keep, again, first things first? Well, we're going to look at what Jesus kind of, he's not showing off, but just understand that there's some challenges sometimes when we see some things in the Bible that we're going, like, what? Like, what's he doing? That seems like almost like Star Wars 4C Jedi mind thing going on here. But just understand, he's God, he's real, he's not, you know, in a galaxy far, far away. He says this, or he does this. Jesus, and this is after he's done lots of miracles, lots of teachings, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side. He didn't go with them. Interesting, we don't know why. Most of the times, he went with them somewhere to teach them something. He's a rabbi, okay? Disciples means that you have a rabbi. You're not a disciple unless you have a rabbi. The rabbi was the one who had a unique teaching, one who you wanted to be exactly like. The rabbi, you can go in parts of Israel today, and you will see, you can identify, just watch a crowd. Find a coffee shop, watch a crowd. You can see when there's a rabbi, and then his Talmudines, his disciples, they'll be following in very close tow. They don't want to miss a thing because they want to be exactly like their rabbi, even to the point where they'll follow him in the bathroom. Yeah, you got it. Okay, moving on. So Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side. He ended up going to the mountainside by himself to pray. He did this great work. He was a part of some major things that happened in people's lives, but he didn't do it on his own. He continued that relationship with the Lord. Whenever God did a great work, he found refreshment. He found renewal in being with the Lord. If you're tired, I want to encourage you. Be present before the Lord. Breathe in his breath. Find an incredible place that you can just be still. You don't have to perform. You don't have to produce. It's just be present. He loves you. This last week, I was driving home. My youngest forgot her musical Annie book that she needed for her play practice and stuff, so I'm dropping that off, and so I'm heading now back, and I see it's near my older daughter's school, and I see them coming out, their team of flag football, and I see them, you know what, I'm just going to watch them, I'm just going to see how their practice is and see if I can help her out a little bit and stuff, and I had so much joy just watching her. She didn't know it and even know I was there. Our Heavenly Father has so much more joy watching you, seeing you in the morning, watching over you at night, walking with you every single moment of the day. But sometimes we're just going and we just miss that opportunity where he just says, do you just want to spend some time together? It takes a focus. It really does. So Sabbath, rest in the Lord. Don't be afraid. You don't have to be afraid of those conversations. Just be present with them. One thing I think it's really fascinating is that of all the Ten Commandments, being I just referenced them, there's not the only one that's not repeated in the New Testament is to keep the Sabbath. I always thought like they made a mistake when early on. I was like, why didn't they include that? It must be somewhere, you know, inferred. Here's why I think it is. Because Jesus has become our Sabbath. And so we find rest in him wherever we're at. There's still a good principle in taking a day and doing nothing. Taking a day and being reminded of who you are and whose you are, and not being the one in charge. Let God be the one who handles that part. Moving on. Now this continues on in the story. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. That's where they're like, wait, what? Right? He's there in a boat. He's praying in a mountain. He gets up before dawn, and he walks over, and he's walking on the lake. This is something they weren't expecting, because we know this, because guess what? They say this. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. They weren't like, oh, there's Jesus being Jesus. Yeah. How about that? He's just showing off. No, it's like, what? No, they're like, what is going? This has not happened. Guess what? People didn't walk in the water back in the day, just like they don't do today. It was the same world, right? And so they're like, so this is their phrase. It's a ghost, they said, crying out in fear. Like, they're like, oh, we are going to die. Like this, there's nothing that makes sense. Why in the world would there be this person out here? It's got to be a ghost. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. Wait, what? They're like, this is not in their normal understanding of life. Their paradigm has just been shattered. Lord, if it's you. So they're, again, they're like, okay, sounds like Jesus, looks like Jesus, but we need to do a little litmus test. If it is you, Peter replied, tell me to come out to you on the water. Now, this might sound like, again, don't get me wrong, there's courage here in his statement, absolute courage. But because he's a disciple, he believes that if his rabbi can do it, he's supposed to be able to do it. And so he better get out there and follow his rabbi. So he's, Lord, if it is you, if you really think this is what I need to know, the teaching lesson type of, okay, call me out and I'll go. Here's a crazy thing. Jesus says, come. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. See, his focus was natural, and it can be natural for us. His focus was, I'm focusing on Jesus. I'm going to try and be more like him. I'm going to try to let him be in charge, not let me be in charge, but actually follow him. That doesn't mean that I lose any of me. Actually, when you start following the Lord the way God intended us to be in relation with him, guess what? We become more of what he always intended. Jesus isn't going to have a yearbook in heaven that just has pictures of himself. He's going to have pictures of you. Oh, I remember when he was 4 when he did this. Oh, yep, crashed right into the mailbox when he was learning how to bicycle. He's going to know everything about us, but he made you to be you. There's only one you. He's not going to hold you accountable for not being someone else. He's going to hold you accountable for what you did with you. Don't be discouraged by that. Be encouraged by that. Know that he has so much he wants to do in you, but it can be natural. But know that once we get our focus on him, things are going to happen. Things are going to come to distract us and maybe even cause fear. This is what goes on with Peter. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. He finally had a grip of reality. Like, wait a minute, I'm on the water. How about this? This is crazy. Oh, no. He goes, and beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. He at least knew where to go. He knew what to do. Lord, save me. Guess what? In those times, and we need it, Jesus is there. All of us are going to have challenges. All of us are going to have these things that get in the way. Sometimes they're fears. Lord, what if it doesn't work out? What will happen if? Why not this? And we just have all these fears. And fears typically aren't very rational. We can be concerned. Those are rational things. I get that. But there's things, you know, people are afraid of sometimes, heights, or like, I'm afraid of snakes. I just said that. I'm afraid to say that because now I know that there's some people out here that have love jokes and they'll be messing with me throughout the rest of my life. But anyways, but that's not a rational fear, you know? Anyhow, maybe it is in Florida. I don't know. Moving on. Sometimes you just, obligations can get you distracted. I mean, you have made commitments to your boss or to people in the community, family, friends. What about the obligations to yourself? Taking care of yourself. Managing the chaos and just being present. And sometimes just busyness of life. And there's nothing wrong with being busy at times. But if that's your condition, there's something to pay attention to. If you go to the doctors and the doctor goes, whoa, there's too much going on here. Like you need to slow down. If the doctor's telling you that and everyone else has already told you that, but you're like, they don't know. Be careful. Be careful. This is what Jesus does. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You have little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt?" Now, he's not hammering him. He's not trying to make him feel small. He was pretty much saying, you know, you tried. You just had a little bit of faith. You're going to need to grow that. You need to build that up. That muscle needs to get stronger. "You have little faith." You doubted. He didn't keep his eyes on him. He took his eyes, looked at the problems, looked at the challenges. And it doesn't mean we don't pay attention to what's around us. We don't put our head in the sand. But when the distractions come, when the fears come, when the obligations come, we go to him in prayer. We seek him out. We find strength. We find guidance. So my question for you is, what distracts you? What's the thing that's keeping you, or the things that are keeping you? I have some great medication for me in life and focus. It's a beautiful thing. I'm not going to lie. My family likes me more when I take my medication. They don't even joke about it anymore. They're like, "No, we really do. We like you more, Dad. Thanks. Thanks, son." Anyhow, but it's because I'm able to focus. I'm able to be present with them. Maybe you just need to spend some time with the Lord so that you can be reminded of how much he loves you. What he wants to do in your heart and your life. There's a scripture that says, keep in step with God's love, found in Jude. Keep in step. That's what we're talking about this whole series. It's about being in step with what God's doing in you and in this world. Why not join him in that? Why not be in step and not be like, "Oh, I feel like I'm just trying to catch up all the time"? It can start right here, right now, with a simple prayer. And then, for guidance, direction. Now what, Lord? Moment by moment, day by day. Paul said it like this, in whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. So, I challenge you with that. Not to be discouraged in any way, but to be reminded how important it is for all of us to stay focused on what matters most. What are those challenges? It's one phrase, and we'll pray. That C.S. Lewis, Clive Staples Lewis, Chronicles of Narnia, probably one of the greatest theologians in the 20th century when it comes to apologetics and understanding our faith. Oxford professor, not a slow man in any way. Oxford gentleman who said this. He says, if Satan can't make you fall, he'll make you busy. If he can't make you stumble, he'll just make you just go around in circles before you know it. He says, either way, it's effective in keeping you from being the person God wanted you to be. If you're running, my in-laws are like, "I didn't know I was going to be so busy when I retired." I'm like, "Wait, what?" They're like, "I'm busier now than I've ever been." And I'm like, "How is that?" But okay, I hear that from a lot of people. Make sure you're taking time, being still. Renew that relationship. He's just a prayer away. Would you pray with me? God, sometimes when we're consumed with our time, when our time is consumed with what we're doing, our minds are not. The more we have going on, the more we believe our activities are just like unalterable as gravity or the sun rising every morning. Sometimes activity takes a life of its own, and our human being is completely, it's just blocked, it's covered by our human doing. Help us to have the courage. Help us to accept your love you have for us, Jesus. Because until we do that, I don't know how we can love others deeply the way you want us to. Lord, I pray that you would transform us, that you would renew us, that you would help us become the people you imagine us becoming. Thank you for your goodness in our lives. Thank you for what you're doing in this community. Thank you for the great work that our group's doing to Manatee Academy or Real Life Children's Ranch or MFI, our community partners, Lord. We just thank you for allowing us to be part of what you're doing. We thank you for our preschool. We ask your blessings upon our teachers, our director, their families, the school families, Lord. Bless them. Help them know you better through our partnership with them. Lord, we pray for our our community, our government. We pray for our leaders. We pray your will be done. We pray, Lord, that you would give them humility, wisdom, and favor, that they would know that's your precepts, that they would live by them and lead by them. We pray for our sister churches, the Grove and the Kirk and Palm City and Indian River. We pray for your church, Universal. It was your idea. It's never intended to be a monument, but a movement. And so, Lord, we humble ourselves before you. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your grace. Help us to have our focus on you. You taught your disciples to have their focus on you by praying a simple prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.